Love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Bah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Hi, I'm Sandy Wright. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clear All commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clear All cream formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clear All cream formula. It's the hair color professionals use. The best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clear All to know you're the best you can be.
Why, Tony, darling.
Huh? Oh, hello, Claire.
Lunching alone?
Yes, I do quite often.
Oh, a pity. May I join you?
Yes, if you like.
If I like? How extraordinary between husband and wife. Of course I like. Take my first, darling.
Claire, I've almost finished lunch and I have an appointment.
You always have an appointment. I don't think you'll just walk out and leave me sitting here.
You wish to order, madame?
The usual, Max. Health salad and green tea.
Thank you, madame.
Still eating like a bird, Claire.
And still wear size 8. Well, there's no doubt about it, Tony. It's a pleasure to be out in public with you. You have nice manners and that air of authority.
Are you going to remind me again how much you did to improve me?
Well, I don't have to. The results are there. You were a young man from nowhere when we met, a salesman. And I was the boss's secretary a long time ago.
Yes, very long.
And now here we are today, chic, handsome, beautiful people. With nothing to say to each other.
Your salon, madame.
Well, that's as good as anything.
I'll take the check, Max.
Yes, sir.
Oh, thank you, darling. So, your new girl left you.
I'm sure you have something else on your mind, Claire.
I thought Kate Wakefield was rather charming, but really not up to the Benson's party. I hear she's out of town, indefinitely.
Where did you learn that?
I called her office. Holly told me where she works.
I suppose you had a reason to call her office.
Yes, I did. I wanted to see her again. She's the first girl you've had who interested me.
When you begin that way, Claire, it's time for me to go.
Darling, you should hear this. It was something Stephen Wolfe said.
Not interested, Claire.
Well, then you're not as bright as I think. Stephen's known Kate Wakefield a long time.
He knew her husband.
Do you know how?
Yes, yes. Stephen did some law work for the guy once.
Do you know what kind?
Yes, I do. Something to do with an automobile accident. Kate told me her husband took drugs.
It was rather unsavory.
And it's past.
Is anything ever really past?
I think a great many things are.
Like our marriage.
Well, I'd rather talk about that than about your friend Stephen Wolfe.
He's hinted at a few things I think you should know, Tony. About Kate.
Claire, I don't want this.
Stephen said it would be most unfortunate for you to become involved with Kate.
But considering I don't even know where the lady is now.
Tony, I mean it. Kate's husband was involved in something quite terrible.
What?
Stephen didn't tell me exactly, but he knows.
Kate's husband has been dead 3 years. Now, whatever it is, it has nothing to do with Kate.
Stephen says it has.
I've had enough of this, Claire.
You're very foolish not to get at the bottom of
the story. If Kate has anything to tell me, I'm sure she will. If I ever see her again.
Oh, you'll see her again. The girl's just being rather clever.
Is that all for today?
Tony, you want a divorce to marry this girl, don't you?
I want a divorce because this is no way for two people to live. We have no home together. We lead separate lives. We have nothing in common. Now, why keep up the pretense?
For its convenience.
For you.
For us both. You'd have run off with Kate long before this if you hadn't been safely prevented.
Claire, I've been sitting here with you as a matter of courtesy. Now, don't take advantage
of it. Tony, why are you being so stubborn? You are almost at the top. You've worked half a lifetime to get there, not counting what I've done
for
you.
Good Lord.
Now, suddenly, you're involved, seriously, or I recognize that, with a girl you know nothing about.
I know all I need to know about Kate.
Do you know where she is now?
Well, no, I don't.
I do. She's on some godforsaken island off the main coast that she and her husband once owned.
How do you know?
Stephen Wolfe is about 95% sure. And do you know why she's there?
No.
To find something that Stephen Wolfe wants. I think you should talk to him, Tony.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application, each side, each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less?
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oseeder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oseeder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oseeder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. Oseeder makes your life easier.
Quite a storm out there, Ben.
Yep, came up sudden.
Well, we just about got in. I tell you, the fish are running mighty poor.
Same all over. Even the banks are being fished out.
Are you going out now?
Got to.
How far?
Over to Gull Island. I figure it'll be another hour before the storm hits us good. That'll give me time to get over and back.
Oh, I don't know as it will. You taking that small boat?
I got no time to get out to my mooring for the big boat.
Oh, not if the storm hits us.
I got to get there. Kate Wakefield's on that island.
Kate's back at Gull?
Yep. Been staying with Ruth and me, but she took it in her head to go over there this morning.
Well, she always had a lot of ginger.
She's got no business over there now, this time of year.
Was she alone?
Yep.
Well, you're doing right to fetch her, Ben.
I'll make it.
Maybe. If anyone can, that is.
Kate, come back into the house.
I'd rather wait out here. Ben will be coming.
You're still afraid of me?
No, it isn't that.
You found me bumming here in your cottage and you resent it.
I've already told you I don't.
And I've told you. Nobody will come out for you in this storm. Come on back, come on.
Please let go of my arm.
You're just going to stand there?
Michael, it's all right. I like to watch a storm come in. Why don't you just stay in the cottage just where you were?
You are afraid of me. Well, I don't look like much, that's for sure. But I told you, I'm harmless. I don't hurt things. Tom would tell you that. Here comes the rain. And you'll get soaked through.
All right.
That's better. You are wet.
No, just my hair and my coat.
You're a crazy kid. I'll build a fresh fire.
Oh, Ben will be here soon. Don't bother.
I want to bother. I'll light the stove, too. Nothing like a Franklin stove to warm the place.
Tom always said so.
Tom. Everything's still Tom. Kate, I'm sorry I talked to you the way I did when you came out to the island today.
You told me what I wanted to know.
So I've been camping here, a squatter. But I didn't like the way you looked at me, so I talked. Foolishly.
Michael, it's all right. I understand.
I'm clean. I've got no stuff on the island. I've been clean for a long time. Clean and empty as a shell, right?
I'm glad.
It's just people who bug me now. How's that for a fire?
Great.
You said you came out to Gull to find something?
Yes.
What are you after?
Something of Tom.
I've seen everything that's in this cottage. Why don't you trust me?
Did you, ever hear him speak of a man named Stephen Wolfe?
What if I did?
Would you tell me about him?
I might. But you'll have to stay around to hear it.
Faces of Love features Morgan Fairchild as Kate Wakefield, Herb Duncan as Ben Wheeler, Michael Storm as Michael Cole, and Mildred Clinton as Ruth Wheeler. Also appearing were Nat Polan and Adam Redfield. Produced and directed by Ernie Ricca, audio engineer Elvin Campbell, written by Margaret LaWorth, and brought to you by the Oceder Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss. This is Mel Brandt. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
The Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Julie, I haven't had dust in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Shuffle, kick.
5 minutes, Clarence.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh.
Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
Ladies, gentlemen, surely you know I am William Makepeace Thackeray. Today, alas, I am in melancholy mood. Do you ask why? The fault lies with my characters. Two of them, I regret to say, are in melancholy mood. Were I not affected, then would my heart not be in the writing of Vanity Fair. Let us look in first upon Miss Matilda Crawley. Into her bedchamber now creeps Miss Arabella Briggs, an old friend and paid companion of 10 years. But mark you, and what a difference it makes. Miss Briggs, their friend, is a moneyless friend, and therefore, yes, inferior to the wealthy Miss Crawley.
Matilda?
Yes, Briggs, what is it?
I thought you might be lonely or have need of something.
Had I need of anything, I would ring. Nor am I lonely. I am reading a most romantic French novel, which you have interrupted.
I am so sorry. I thought with Miss Sharp away, you do dislike being alone, Matilda, and in other days, you liked me here.
You thought with Miss Sharp away, you could not pass by the opportunity to come here and speak against her.
Matilda, no. I quite like Miss Sharp. I do.
You do not quite like Miss Sharp. You feel she has unseated you?
I pray she has not.
You are not formally dismissed, no. Where, may I ask, could you go if I dismissed you?
To my sister's?
Where you are not invited. You've told me your sister's husband does not fancy another mouth to feed in the person of his wife's indigent relative.
Yes, that is so.
Well, there you see. Out of kindness and generosity, I must keep you on. And you shall have new duties, that is all. You're a very good seamstress. You can take Puff Puff for his walk-walk. And I shall think of other things. And I will not hear one word against Rebecca Sharp.
I did not say one word or think one word.
Then you are a fool. Of course you do not like her here. Of course you cannot abide her untiring good humor, her excellence in nursing, her wit, her looks, her youth. Come, confess it.
Matilda, it is our friendship that I treasure, and Miss Sharp cannot take that away. Can she?
I suppose not. We did go to school together. But I do loathe sentimental speechifying. Come now, Arabella. Why don't you ask what you want to ask?
I don't know what it is I want to ask.
You take me for a fool? You anguish to know when I shall send Miss Rebecca Sharp back to Queen's Crawley.
But I'd no need to ask it. Miss Sharp has said more than once that she departs as soon as ever you are well.
Oh, and so she shall.
Do you mean it, Matilda?
Oh, yes. Depend upon it, dear Briggs. But who knows when I shall be well?
Not a pretty scene. I apologize. But what my characters are, they are. Distaste cannot change it. Let us go now to Becky at Amelia Sedley's, and shortly thereafter encounter another melancholy soul. The two pretty young things sit together in the music room, Captain Dobbin and Lieutenant Osborne having reluctantly returned to their barracks.
Oh, Emmy, I must go. Miss Crawley will have my head if I stay longer.
Not yet, Becky, please.
I must. If she's to keep me on in London, I must suit her in every way, or poor Arabella Briggs will be her companion again, and I a governess. I have to make Miss Crawley feel she cannot do without me.
You must not go back to Queen's Crawley, ever. I cannot do without you. You are so helpful about George.
Oh, I'm not sure anyone can be helpful about George.
You don't think he loves me?
He loves you, but he loves George more, and he will have his way.
He has his way in all things. I never say no to him. Never.
And should. I say no to Rawdon far more than I say yes.
He lets you. He obeys. He's not angry.
Lets me, obeys, and is not angry.
But ladies are not intended to say no to their gentlemen.
Fiddlesticks! Are they better or smarter than we?
Oh, yes.
Oh, dear Emmy, that is what we are always told. But it is not so. Now I must go.
Stay only a little while more. Not with me, with Papa.
With Mr. Sedd? Why?
You saw him only for a moment when you came. Did you notice nothing?
He was very pleased to see me. I noticed that.
He's very fond of you. Very. It is why I want you to talk to him now.
Oh, something else I ought to have noticed and didn't. What is it, Emmy? You sound so worried.
It's Papa who's worried. He returns from the city so melancholy each day, and he has oldened of late. We're so alarmed. But he'll tell Mama and me nothing. Perhaps he'll talk to you.
Oh, I doubt he will. Not of what worries him. But it may be I can cheer him a little.
Oh, will you try?
Oh, of course I'll try.
Mr. Jonathan Sedley sits in his library, reading? No. Staring at what? Thinking darkly of what? And why does a knocking at the door cause this amiable man to start to scowl, to shout with impatience?
Go away, I'm busy here.
Too busy to see a lady whose heart will surely break if you turn her away.
Becky Sharp. Come in, Becky, do come in.
Not unless I'm welcome.
You are welcome, and there are few I can say that to. Shut the door, my dear, and sit with me.
Dear Mr. Sedd, one reason I wanted to return to London was to sit with you.
Not very good company, I fear, Rebecca. No, not very good.
Oh, you were the best of company when I visited here before I went to Queen's Crawley.
The same little flirt, and the country has done you good. Prettier than ever.
And you are the same flatterer.
Or is it Cupid's arrow that has made you prettier?
Emmy has told you about Rawdon.
You don't mind?
I meant her to. Are you glad for me?
Glad, but surprised. I know your dream, Becky. And Rawdon Crawley is neither rich nor titled.
Titled he won't be, but rich he will be.
Miss Matilda Crawley's fat purse will be his, yes?
Yes.
I thought as much, for I know, dear little Becky, how you've loathed your poverty.
And don't blame me for wanting money at last.
Blame you? 'Tis money that rules me own life.
Ah, you're troubled about money, Mr. Said.
What makes you ask?
Something in your voice, I think, when even you said the word. And you are feigning to be cheerful with me.
What a clever one you are. Knew it before, know it again.
Then you are troubled.
About money, and thus about Emmy. She must have her dowry. Already George Osborne neglects her. And I've no doubt if her dowry is not what he's been promised, he will, you may be sure, find a girl with the £10,000 he expected from Emmy.
The £10,000 is in doubt?
Napoleon Bonaparte is in doubt. What will that Corsican upstart do?
What he does affects the stock exchange, yes?
What other girl in London or all of England would know such a thing or care? But Becky Sharp knows.
And cares. Oh, I'm so sorry the eagles of Bonaparte fly too near you for comfort.
I hear their damned wings flapping, and to think they can affect a girl in Russell Square who loves with all her simple heart a bounder like George Osborne.
Once again we agree, Mr. Said. I don't trust George either.
Now, listen to me well, Becky. You're to say naught of money to Emmy. I'll not have her or Mrs. Said disturbed. True, my speculations of late have gone wrong. Funds risen when I calculated they'd fall, but I'll slay the damned eagles, I will. Not a word to Emmy.
Not one, dear, dear Mr. Said.
Dear audience, I have complained that my characters take no thought of the war on the continent. But one day they will learn what luckless Mr. Sen has learned. The eagles of Napoleon fly near. Tomorrow, nonetheless, I promise a more cheerful chapter. Come, join me, your servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Studio has been brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life, brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray, gives you the fastest decongestant relief possible.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant, proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Peg, will you? you come here?
Yes, I'm coming. What is the trouble?
Get in here.
In the bathroom?
Yes, get in. Lock it.
Lock it?
Yes.
Why are we closeted in the bathroom?
Where did these two magazines come from?
Oh.
Where did they come from?
Where'd you get them?
From under the cushion on the sofa downstairs.
Yeah, that's where I put them, yeah.
You?
How did you find them?
Well, I sat down on the sofa and I thought the cushion felt funny, so I lifted it up and here they were. Two dirty magazines. This nude girl on the cover of one and this bare bottom on the other. I mean, what is all this?
I don't really know. I didn't have time to more than glance at them.
May I ask what you were doing with them?
I found them on the hall table under a scarf. I'd had bridge club this afternoon, and after everyone left, I was picking up. And suddenly I saw these two magazines, only they were face down. So I just saw some advertising on the back. Then when I flipped them over and saw the covers, I couldn't believe my eyes.
You don't mean to tell me that one of your girlfriends left them here?
I don't mean to tell you anything. I don't know any more about it than you do. I only know I never saw them before. And then I just, flipped through one, and I saw some of the cartoons, and I nearly collapsed. They're not funny. They're just obscene.
What one of your friends could have left them here?
I don't know. Nobody has called to say they forgot anything.
Be ashamed to call, I should think.
Probably.
How did they get under the cushion on the couch?
Well, Aunt Maggie called me, and I thought, oh, good heavens, I wouldn't want her to see anything like that. So I raced into the living room and shoved them under the cushion.
Look at this centerfold.
Oh, I thought those had girls. I don't know why they used him. He's not even good looking.
Yeah, I don't think that's the idea.
I can't imagine why any of my bridge club friends would buy anything like this. I can't think which one of them would do it.
Here, look at this. No, don't look at it.
Oh, honey, I find it very uninteresting.
Have you seen magazines like this before?
On the newsstands, you can buy them everywhere. I never looked through one before, have you?
No, I've seen them on newsstands too, but I never bought any, and I certainly had no idea that... look at this. Now, that is really...
Really, it is.
I can't believe it.
I know, well, you're more shocked than I was. I just think it's sort of dull, really, and dirty.
I can't believe it.
You've never seen any of these magazines?
Well, no. Why should I? Why should you think I'd buy something like this?
I don't know. Men. I just assumed somebody in your office might have brought one of these magazines in, and you men all gathered around and giggled.
Men do not giggle.
Well, it's men who publish all these pornographic things. You don't find women or very few putting out things like this.
I'd like to know how these two magazines got in our house.
Well, so would I. But since they apparently sell millions of copies and can be bought by anybody on any newsstand, don't you feel a little silly locking yourself in the bathroom to read them?
Well, now look,
look, in this day and age, dear, everything goes. It's your house. You can sit in the living room and browse through them. Lock yourself in.
What's that supposed to mean?
It means that I think it's time somebody did something about it. Free speech is all very well, but when young children can buy these things, you know.
What, Debbie? You think Debbie bought these? She's only 16.
Oh, honey, a six-year-old boy or girl can buy one if he or she has the $1.95, whatever they cost.
I'm going to write a letter.
Good, so will I. Of course, we are always getting indignant about something, and we say we're going to write letters, and we never do.
Hey, look. Look at this one. Now, really, that is just plain old...
I guess our congressmen are the ones to write to.
No, I think I'll write to the president.
I think the president has more important things to do, dear, than worry about pornographic magazines.
Oh, it isn't important that these things are sold openly? That children can buy them?
Well, I don't... Don't yell at me. I didn't say it wasn't important.
The president doesn't care about this?
Of course, I'm sure he cares about it. I only meant that, I suppose, for example, the oil situation... is more important right now, you know,
what's
than...
What's happened to the morality in this country? If you don't approve of all this, you're an old fuddy-duddy.
That's true. I know. Well, look, I've got to get dinner. Now, Aunt Maggie and Debbie will be wondering where we are. We can't stay locked in the bathroom looking at a dirty magazine.
I'm not looking at it.
I know.
I'm just,
Shocked.
No. Disgusted and appalled. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really am.
I know. Well, I never saw things like this before, but, I mean, being a man, you must have. When you were growing up, didn't one of your friends have some... postcards, so-called, to show you? Out behind the garage? You can tell me. I'm your wife, you know, not your mother.
All right. All right. But those postcards were nothing like what's in these magazines. I mean, nudity is one thing,
Do you think we should have a talk with Debbie?
I can't believe Debbie would buy anything like this. Not my little girl.
She's 16.
I know she's 16, but if she's using the allowance I give her to buy filthy trash like this...
Well, we don't know. That's maybe why we should have a talk with her.
Yes. No. Well, I don't know. I mean, if we ask her and she says, what magazines, then we'll have to show them to her and... I don't want her to see
these.
Well,
listen, the kids of today, dear, are farm...
Mother?
Yes?
Is Daddy in there with you?
Yes, he is.
He's wanted on the phone. I've been looking all over for him.
Hide the magazines. Yeah. Put them in the tub. Pull the shower curtains.
Just
go ahead.
Go ahead. Just a minute, Tim. Honestly, this is ridiculous.
What's the matter?
Nothing.
Not a thing.
No, nothing, Bob. Go answer the phone, dear.
What?
Go answer
hey, what's going on? Why are you two hiding in the bathroom?
Well, we're not hiding, dear. Exactly. Listen, when your father gets back from the phone, he wants to have a talk with you.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Hi, I'm trimming my little girl's hair. Mine was the same beautiful chestnut color once, before the grays started sneaking in. But I discovered Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It covered my grays without changing my natural color, and it has no peroxide. Loving Care made my hair shinier and softer, too. Our hair looks almost alike now, except mine has no bubble gum in it.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
All right, Debbie, I just asked you if you bought these magazines.
I said no.
Will you keep your voices down? I don't want Aunt Maggie to hear us and come running and ask what it's all about.
I saw the magazines on the hall table when I came in after school, and I thought one of you bought them. And to tell you the truth, I was kind of surprised.
Have you ever seen this type of magazine before?
Oh, Daddy, of course. Once you've seen one, you've seen them all. I just think they're dull. I certainly wouldn't spend my money on them.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear that.
All of which means that one of my dear, respected, respectable, lovely Bridge Club friends buys pornographic magazines.
One of your friends? Oh, Mom, wow.
I wonder which one. Makes the kill feel kind of funny, you know?
Whoever it is, you can be sure she won't call up and say she left them here.
Means we'll have to get rid of them.
Just dump them out in the garbage.
And what if the garbage bag comes open, breaks open? Anyhow, Aunt Maggie's always misplacing her glasses. In the first place, she looks at the garbage, thinking they may have dropped off the counter, you know? No. Can't you take them to work with you tomorrow? And
what? No. It'd be just today I had an accident or something. I wouldn't want them found in my car.
Well, they're not illegal, you know. You can buy them anywhere.
Yeah, I know that, but I'm old-fashioned, okay? I just don't happen to want a collision and have these in my car.
All right. I just thought
Ned!
That
Bob! Debbie! Oh. My goodness, where is everybody?
We're up here, Aunt Maggie, in Debbie's room.
I put
right here.
The potatoes, and I put the carrots on.
Oh, thank you.
I had been looking all over for my glasses.
Oh.
I looked in the garbage and just everywhere.
You see what I mean? Well, Aunt Maggie, maybe they're on the buffet.
Oh, no, it's all right.
Yeah.
I finally found them on top of the refrigerator.
Oh.
Well, I wanted them so I could sit down and look at a couple of magazines I bought today. Now I can't find the magazines. Well, I have looked all over. Oh. I'm just sure that when I came in the house, I put them on the hall table.
And Maggie, you mean you bought some magazines?
Yes. Have you seen them?
Well,
I don't care. I just wondered where they were. I bought them to read on the bus tomorrow. I'm going to visit your mother for the weekend, Bob. Have you seen my magazines, anyone?
What were they, Aunt Maggie?
Yes. What
I don't know. I didn't have my glasses when I went in town with Miss Whitty today. I just wanted some women's magazines. Couldn't see a thing, so I asked the man at the newsstand. I just said, are these for women? And he said, oh, yes. So, I can't tell you which ones I got. I hope they're House Beautiful and the Good Housekeeping. Well, I don't know what could have happened to them. I had them on the hall table. I thought...
Oh, well, Aunt Maggie, look, maybe one of my Bridge Club friends picked them up by accident,
yes.
You know?
Oh, yes.
Don't worry. Now, when I take you to the bus tomorrow, we'll stop at the newsstand and pick up the magazines you want.
No, I'm going to look around the house some more first. I was so sure I put them on the hall table.
What a relief.
Oh, can't you see her asking the newsstand man, are these for women? And he said, oh, yes.
I think I'll take these out and bury them in the garden.
Yeah, we could burn them up in the fireplace, dear. You know, maybe if you built a fire.
Oh, you too.
flowers.
Now, look, young lady, your parents are old-fashioned.
I know, and I'm glad.
The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need Four-Way Nasal Spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, Four-Way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Bah, Four-Way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some Four-Way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Mystery meat again. The food hasn't changed since the last time I was in college, but I have. 12 years later, 12 gray hairs. The only gray hairs in the entire class. So, I tried Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, just covers up gray without changing your natural color. Loving Care made my hair softer and shinier. And two boys wanted my number.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
All right, Jennifer. I know you can't talk, darling. You're home from the lake in Jefferson Hospital, and you're going to be all right. Your daddy will be here in a few minutes. Don't worry about all these gadgets. They're helping you breathe. Ah, here he is.
Hi, honey. You remember Dr. Foster, don't you?
Hello, Jennifer.
She's been moving her arms and legs.
Yes, that's fine, Gloria. You can take a break now.
Thank you, Doctor.
Jen, just nod your head, honey. We know you can't talk.
You know, she looks pretty good, Jason.
Oh,
Jennifer, excuse me. You look very good.
Darling, do you remember what happened? Yes? Well, that's good. How are you feeling, honey? Now, I know you want to talk, but the tube is there so you can breathe. Now, you had a lot of water in your lungs. And when you fell through the ice, Dr. Gonzalez and I came along and found you. You'd been in the water a long time, darling. And he knew how to save you.
And Jennifer, your father gave you artificial respiration. You know what I mean? He breathed for you for an hour.
Jen? Oh, Jen, you're awake, darling. I know, honey. Now, don't worry. Everything is all right. You're getting better. I know you didn't mean to fall through the ice, oh, honey. Now, when you get better, we're going to have that Thanksgiving dinner, I promise.
You get some sleep now, honey. The nurse will be with you.
And I'll be back, Jen. Would you like to have your Raggedy Ann doll? All right, honey. I'll get it for you.
Gloria, you can come back in now.
All right, Doctor. I'll be back soon, Jen. Now, you take a nap. All right, Mrs. Carter, don't worry.
Em, you should get some rest yourself.
Yes, Emily, I've ordered a room for you, and now I am ordering some rest.
Oh, thank you, Marsh, for putting me in a room near her.
Oh, you got it. Now, look, the nurse will be in with a sedative. Now, promise me, I want you to take it, Em.
All right.
Okay. And Jason, I'll see you in my office.
Yes, fine, Marsh.
Jason.
Hmm?
Is she going to be all right?
Well, you can see for yourself.
No, I mean, is there any brain damage?
We don't know yet, hon. We'll have to take tests.
Well, when can she talk? That tube in her throat.
Well, in a day or so. And we'll know a lot more then.
Oh, Jason, thank God for Joe Gonzalez.
Yes, he knew exactly what the procedure was for treating long immersion.
She must have fallen through the ice right after she left to find Susie and Bobby.
Now, darling, will you get some rest now?
I'll try. I wish you would, too.
You've been through as much as I have.
Oh, Ginger, that would be great.
Cora's making turkey sandwiches with her homemade bread.
Oh, well, I know they'll appreciate it.
We'll take it over this afternoon. Please be sure to tell Emily not to worry.
I will. And, thank you, Ginger.
You'll be home early.
I'll try, dear. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Do you have some time now, Marsh?
Yeah, come on. Sit down. You've been up for 30 hours, and you are exhausted.
Well, Emily's resting now, I think.
You, didn't say anything to her, of course.
Oh, God, no.
How's she been?
Well, pretty good. Very, very good, as a matter of fact. I had to remind her to take her medication.
Now, Jason, what do you plan to do?
I don't know, Marsh. I thought after the holiday,
well,
but
it
now...
It should be soon, Jace. I hate to press you on it, but I promised her the truth.
Now, Marshall, you had no right to do that.
Oh, Jace,
well, that's
on.
A decision that should have been mine.
She has a right to ask it of me as her doctor.
Well, Szabo hasn't altered his diagnosis, has he?
No. And I've done some more research on Chordoma.
Huh.
Well, it's nothing good, except it is not considered malignant.
A benign brain tumor. My God, Marsh, just the growth alone.
I know.
God. I'll have to tell her. But when?
I feel so sorry for Emily Carter.
Mm-hmm.
I think the bread's done, Cora.
Oh, it smells as good as what Mama used to bake, doesn't it?
Yes, it sure does. And remember how it tasted with sorghum honey?
Mm-hmm. How is Jennifer now?
Marsh says she's getting better all the time.
It makes you realize how lucky you are, Ginger.
I know.
It's just so easy to take everything for granted.
Emily isn't well herself.
Do they know what's the matter with her?
No. I suppose they really shouldn't have gone up to their cabin. Then this wouldn't have happened to Jennifer.
Oh, you can't say that, Ginger.
Well, it's true, Cora.
Well, people can't always tell how things are going to come out. If you started to worry about what might happen, you'd never get out of bed in the morning.
I know that, but still you have to try to look ahead and be careful.
Oh, of course you do. And there are some things that happen that you are responsible for.
I've always felt that way.
Well, now that we're on that subject, how are things between you and Marsh?
Well, a little better, I suppose.
I wish you could see that what you're doing has been driving him away from you.
Just because I don't want him to get involved with Angela Fairchild?
Well, don't you see that when you continually talk about it, you're driving him away from you?
What am I supposed to do? Just stand by and let it happen?
Maybe if you trusted him more. When you keep harping on something, you're just setting it up to happen.
So it's my fault if my husband's unfaithful?
Well, if you keep blaming a man enough for something he hasn't done, it can't be any surprise if he finally goes out and does it.
Mrs. Carter.
Yes, I can stay with her for a while now, Mrs. Hamilton.
All right. I'll be outside if you need me.
Thank you. Well, how you doing, honey? Oh, I know. Must be awful not to be able to talk because of that tube. But it won't be much longer, Jen. Look, I'll tell you what. I'll sit here and hold your hand, and you squeeze it one time for yes and twice for no. All right? That's right. That's one squeeze. Yes. Now, you know you're in Jefferson Hospital, don't you, dear? Good. Jen, do you remember the ride in the ambulance? Oh, three squeezes, yes and no, honey? Oh, darling. We're going to have so much talking to catch up on when you get well. It'll take a lifetime.
Marsh, I can't tell Emily now that she's so worried about Jennifer.
Look, we have to face the fact that there will never be a good time to tell her.
You know, Marsh, you have a great talent for stating the obvious.
Okay, I'll admit that, if you'll own up to a tendency to avoid it.
Well, right now, we don't know how Jen's going to come out of this.
Gonzalez says the chances are very good.
But we won't know for some time, Marsh. Now, if she suffered... if she suffered brain damage due to the lack of oxygen while she was in the water...
Well, take it easy. According to the case Gonzalez cites, the child recovered fully.
Yes, but it took months before they knew that.
You can't wait indefinitely to tell Emily what Zabo's diagnosis is. She knows he's seen her tests. I mean, Jason, she's expecting an answer.
Well, I'll just have to put it off, Marsh. At least until we know Jennifer's out of the woods, and that's that.
All right. But when Emily has some time to think, she is going to ask questions.
Yes, I know. What do you think I can tell her?
Oh. Are you asking me to help you lie to her?
Marsh, what's my choice?
I don't know.
You know, you're a great critic, but that's not what I need right now. I have to think of some logical way to put off telling her.
Jason, at the risk of being obvious, it won't work for very long.
Brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.